food, garden, holidays, a clean home, a healthy home, all right here, right now. The Morbid Homemakers Podcast, exclusively on Podomatic. Hey guys, this is your host Brian, and welcome to the Morbid Homemakers Podcast. This is my very first episode, and I have been looking forward to this episode all week long. I'm not really nervous, but I'm kind of new to the whole podcasting thing, and I'm going to be talking to pretty much myself for 20 minutes, but thank you for your questions that you've submitted through Facebook and Twitter. I appreciate them, and I'm going to definitely answer all of them in today's segment. Today's episode is all about baking. Baking for me is one of those, it's one of my favorite things to do. I love to cook, and food is one of my passions. And baking is, I think it's so important to me because I love memories. Memories, just like people love to photograph and cherish those memories. For me, I have, sense memory. When I have a slice of my aunt's pumpkin roll, I think of Thanksgivings in the past. When I have a piece of my grandmother's blueberry cake, I think of summer spent at the farm playing with my cousins when I was younger. Food for me takes me to a place, and it takes me to those memories, and that's why I think it's just so enjoyable for me. And I want to give everybody that joy. That's why I decided to do the podcast. And, a lot of people feel intimidated when it comes to baking. They either think, every time I make cookies, they burn, or they're too hard, they're not soft and chewy like I want them to be, or I have bakeware that I'm unsatisfied with. What do you recommend? It's one of those things, and I'm pretty much going to give you guys a bunch of tips, not really recipes, because you can go to a lot of reliable resources, get a couple good cookbooks, and look at them, read them, scour them from page to page, and look them over and find, beginner's recipes and work your way up. And I guarantee you're going to be cooking souffles in no time. So basically, I'm going to start this off and we're going to talk all about the basics. For me, there's a simple message behind baking, and that is that premium ingredients make premium food. So if you are eating a lackluster cookie, it was probably made with high fructose corn syrup. It probably wasn't even homemade. It has a processed taste. You know what I'm talking about. It's when you open up that bag of Chips Ahoy cookies, and even they look tempting in the supermarket, you eat them, and you can have two or three, and it's just not that satisfaction that's there. It's not the satisfaction that's there than when you would go to the farmer's market and pick up a batch of cookies made that morning or the day before by some little Amish lady in her little home. It's that it for me, that I eat that cookie and I feel satisfied. My stomach feels satisfied. I wouldn't say it's nourishing, but it hits the spot. So I always believe in using farm fresh eggs, and I do not buy the eggs that you find at the supermarket where they're a reasonable price for 12, or they're, it's just one dozen grade A large eggs. Even though that is the standard that this country kind of lives on, it's kind of sad. You should always strive. I don't really think that the brown eggs are any more nutritious. I know the chickens that make those eggs eat a lot more, and a lot more goes into it. So they are naturally more expensive because the chickens require more food to be fed. And I get the cage-free organic eggs. And if I'm at the farmer's market and I know the farmer, I know the farm that they grow these chickens on and where these eggs are produced, I somewhat know the living standards that these chickens have. And I might or might not feel that I can trust these eggs. With the recent health recalls for these eggs, the egg recalls that we've been experiencing in this country, it's scary. You don't really know where your food comes from. And I think that's the joy of not only growing your own garden, but knowing exactly what you put into your food and making the food yourself instead of buying the already baked cake or the already baked pie. You just don't know what's in there. If for nothing more, peace of mind really is what it's all about. So cage-free organic eggs, that's a must. I use flour for my cakes and stuff, and I only use King Arthur flour. You can find it at a plethora of supermarkets in the area. It's an organic flour. They do have the unorganic. I recommend you use the organic flour. It's a little bit more expensive, but again, premium ingredients make premium food. So I use that. My sugar, I also look for the organic sugar. I go down to Whole Foods. But, you know, sugar is one of those things where it's more like you have to look at the ethics behind it. And if you are somewhat of an ethical eater, you look at them. But, you know, really, that's what... After you become an avid baker and you really start investing in the ingredients that you use, you do become a little bit more aware of the companies that you buy your food from. For example, the King Arthur flour I just talked about, it's 100% employee-owned. I mean, this is a company that bases their product off of quality and ethics. I feel so good when I buy a bag of flour from them. I feel like I'm supporting the cause. So that unsalted butter is a must. Do not buy the margarine, even if they ask that it, you know, don't know. Get another recipe. It's not worth it. Again, unsalted butter. That way, you know, some different brands of the sweet cream butter, the salt content varies. So if you have a recipe that calls for unsalted butter and all you have is a sweet cream butter, don't add the salt to your recipe because they are thinking that you, or if you're using unsalted butter, you have to add salt. And the problem, like if you buy a sweet cream butter from a supermarket and then you go to another supermarket, you really have to look at the sodium content because it could be drastically different, which could really make a huge difference in the taste of your food. And so that's a must. And these are all the staples, your flour, your sugar, your eggs, your butter. Now we're going to get into your additives, your salt. You know, all baking goods need a pinch of salt. I always add a pinch of salt to all my baked goods. I think it just kind of levels out sometimes when things are too sweet, like a pecan pie with a toffee crunch to it. It sounds like a diabetic coma in a pie. But it really, you need that bit of salt. It just mellows the flavor out a little bit. It's not overpoweringly sweet. And it has that little bit of saltiness that tastes so good with the sweet. I always use the kosher salt or coarse salt with that. Sometimes I use sea salt in my pie crust, but you have to remember that sea salt is not the coarse salt that the recipe is referring to. When a recipe says coarse salt, you have to know that that's kosher salt unless otherwise specified. And I always use Diamond Crystal brand kosher salt because they stay truest to form with decent and, I guess you would say responsible sodium content. It's funny, salt has different sodium contents. My friends were expressing the problems with their canned goods last year and how they canned a batch of pickles, same recipe, time and time and time again. However, they had slightly different ingredients, and the main different ingredient was the salt. One had a coarse salt from the Morton brand, and I'm not a spokesperson for anything, and I'm not bashing the brands. I use Morton sea salt all the time. But it was a coarse salt from Morton, and then there was a coarse salt from Diamond Crystal. The one from Morton was so much saltier that it was almost unenjoyable. And so that's something that you have to really keep in mind, the sodium content of these things. But Diamond Crystal, again, a very readily available brand out there on the supermarket shelves. It's in your baking supply section with the other salts there. And look for, it should say kosher salts, like in a red and white salt shaker. And I'm not kidding, that salt will probably last you a good 1 to 2 years. So it's a good like $2 or $3 investment. And it will give you lots and lots of great baked goods. Another thing I cannot stress enough the emphasis of is the importance of using pure vanilla extract. And I am not kidding when I say this. You get what you pay for, people. You definitely get what you pay for. If you're paying $1.87 for pure vanilla extract, something is definitely wrong with that. I buy or I like two brands, Watkins Vanilla Bourbon. It's less expensive than the best vanilla I've ever had, but I sometimes like that depending on what I'm making. It's really good. And I'll make that. And then I also get the it's called Finest Vanilla. Finest, like pure vanilla. It comes in a brown bottle with a yellow label on it. And it's about $8. But you're thinking, wow, $8 for vanilla, that's very expensive. Well, not really, because the bottle's a lot bigger than your, you know, $3 bottle of pure vanilla extract, your $5 bottle of pure vanilla extract. And really, this is when the price per ounce comes into play. So look at those little labels, those little orange labels next to the white price tag where it says price per ounce. Look at that. Keep your eyes out for sales during the holiday seasons and stock up when it's on sale because it's so worth it. And another thing I really buy a lot of, and you have to watch this, is the vanilla beans from Madagascar. You can find them at your Walmarts or your super centers. I would not buy them from there because they're so expensive. And you're thinking, what, Walmart has something that's expensive? Yeah, what a shocker, right? No, you can actually go to Whole Foods or Wegmans or a premium supplier. You can even go online and find a massive, not really massive, but much more than the two vanilla beans that they provide you with for $5. I think I looked at the one in Giant, which is a local food store close to us, in their organic section. And for two Madagascar vanilla beans, $13.86. And at Walmart, when I was in there looking for a DVD, I thought I'm going to check out their baking supply section before I do this podcast. And again, $10. Now, I go to Wegmans. I get four of them for $5. So, I mean, do the math. That's saving a lot of money. And I find them in the Indian section because the Indian population does a lot of cooking with vanilla beans. I'm talking the whole bean itself. They're very long. They look somewhat shriveled. And you pretty much just slice them down the center and you scrape out all those delicious vanilla beans, those little seeds out of the vanilla bean itself. And you can add it to your cream and let it cook and immerse that wonderful aroma in your baked goods. So that's another good thing that I really believe in, that your ingredients are the product. So if you use good quality ingredients, you're going to have a great quality product. There's no reason why you can't. So one of my tweet messages today when I got on, or one of my Twitter messages today, I had somebody had DM'd me this morning and who also is a friend of me on Facebook, and they said, I have a problem with things burning. Can you please help? Yes. Well, of course I can help. You'll probably either have your oven temperature too high or maybe your oven needs to be calibrated. If you didn't specify whether it was just cooking or baking or both, but I'm assuming you said I have a problem with things burning. So get your oven calibrated. You can call Lowe's or Home Depot and look into, they have a person that can come out to your house and do that for you and test the actual temperature. You can somewhat even do it yourself though. If you can find an oven temperature gauge, you can, put that in the oven itself. That's separate from the oven register that's on your stovetop. And you can, if you set your oven to 350 and it's coming in at 400, you might have to get that calibrated ASAP or just adjust as needed. But I would definitely get that calibrated. It does pay off in the long run. Another question I had today was about bakeware, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. And I'll get to that in just a second. But another thing about when I bake cookies, my cookies are always very fluffy, somewhat even tender, but not underdone. And I really credit that to when you look at a recipe and it says bake for 12 to 15 minutes. I don't wait 15 minutes. You have to realize that the more you bake something, the more water is coming out of your baked goods. So, I always bake them at the 12-minute mark. If it says 12 to 15 minutes, I bake them at 12 minutes at least. And I check them. If they need done an extra 1 or 2 minutes more, I will add them back into the oven. I never bring out undercooked goods out of the oven. Another thing I recommend is chilling your dough beforehand. If you have a problem with your cookies getting very flat, flash freeze my, I just take the whole KitchenAid bowl and I put my cookie batter, I cover it with saran wrap and I throw it in the freezer for 15 minutes. Or I put it in the refrigerator for an hour or two and I remove it and I get my cookie scooper out and I, use Silpat line, another good thing, Silpats. We'll talk about them when I talk about bakeware. And, you put them on and literally they don't, they bake down into round, cookie shapes, but they do not get flat. A great, great thing. On to bakeware. I had a question today on Facebook about silicone bakeware, and I have a pretty easy answer for this, but, a lady wrote in, a very nice lady, and she wrote about, her absolute loathing for silicone bakeware. She's never had luck with it, and I'm here to share with you that I, too, absolutely loathe silicone bakeware. She shared with me an experience that her food somewhat, it tastes like it has an imparted flavor. Well, even though it claims that it doesn't, I, too, have experienced that. I am frustrated with silicone bakeware. I just don't even waste my money on that, on anything silicone. I have a Madeline tray that has a, it's a silicone-based Madeline tray. I've had decent luck with that, but it only lasted for about 3 or 4 batches of Madelines on separate occasions, and literally the tray was so unusable, I just pitched it and got rid of it. The one thing that is silicone that I swear by are Silpats. They are amazing. It's a, about, they're about $20. You can find them at Bed Bath & Beyond. You can find them at Macy's. You can find them online at silpat.com. That's S-I-L-P-A-T. And they are these really thick silicone baking sheets that kind of substitute for parchment paper whenever you're cooking very thin cookies. This prevents the sticking of the cookie to the baking sheet itself. And they scoop right up. They don't stick. It's like, you hear about the silicone mats that you find for $3 or $4 at your Walmarts or your whatever, and they just aren't worth the money. You need to spend the $20 and get yourself one of these things. And I have two here, and I use them all the time. Whenever I bake cookies, I'm always using my Silpats. I absolutely love them. Which brings me to my last topic, and that is kitchen tools that are absolute essentials. Well, of course, you must have a well-calibrated stove and a well-calibrated oven to do your baking in. You know, I say the stove because sometimes you do have to melt chocolate or you have to, you know, slightly, you might have to make a lemon curd or a filling for your cookies or your pies or whatever. And you need to have a stove that works, obviously. I don't recommend baking in the microwave, although I'm sure it's possible. I also heard a very tragic story about a person who swears by her crock pot and can even bake a cake in her crock pot. As amusing as that is, I'd rather not try it. Not to sound like a closed-minded eater. I mean, I might try it, but I don't think I'm ever going to try that myself as, like, to prepare it myself. I might try it if somebody else makes it. Just so I can bash it later. So back to kitchen tools. Good quality bakeware is an essential. And I was talking about bakeware. I swear by metallic bakeware. I don't have anything silicone besides the Silpats. And I don't, if it's aluminum, stainless steel, whatever, it works. It gets the job done. It's really good to have on hand. The Martha Stewart collection. Macy's has good quality products. KitchenAid has good quality products. You go to a Williams-Sonoma, you're going to spend more, but also very good quality products. You should probably invest in a KitchenAid mixer. And if you can't afford that, if that is not in your budget, definitely a very large mixing bowl and a good whisk and a good spatula. These are little tools that are essentials. If you're making lemon cookies, you might want to get a citrus press. It cuts the juicing of the lemons out. Cuts it in half. I mean, even more so. I mean, you might do an eighth of the work that you would have done beforehand. Very easy. Not tedious at all. Tedious is a citrus reamer. You know, that can be a little bit tedious if you're juicing 20 lemons to get the lemon juice out of them. Whereas if you do the citrus press, you literally cut a lemon in half, put the lemon half in the citrus press and squeeze, and you have all your juice extracted out of it. something really good to have. The KitchenAid is very good thing to have for, everything from cookie doughs to cakes. Oh my gosh, you can do breads in the KitchenAid. There's almost everything you can do with the KitchenAid. And plus you can get different attachments, so you can grind your own meat, you can make your own pasta, all those sorts of things. And, good offset spatulas. They're a really important thing to have around and on hand. Things to always have on hand were the ingredients that I listed. Have them always stocked somewhere in your pantry. Butter has a really long shelf life. You'd be really surprised when you look at how long the shelf life of butter is. So keep it stored in your dairy drawer. Keep it stored in your dairy drawer in your refrigerator. And you can use that whenever you need to. Buy it when it's on sale. So keep your eye out in the merchandiser or in your store flyers. And look for when it's on sale. The holidays are coming up, and that is when your baked goods goes on sale. So stock up. I would definitely keep that on hand. You also should have things like parchment paper and aluminum foil on hand. Your tools, always have them somewhere near. Parchment paper is expensive. It's about the same price as aluminum foil, but as you know, aluminum foil it's a pricey thing to have because it seems to just go through it. And that's why I suggested getting a thing like a Silpat, because it literally lasts forever. And it comes, I think, with a lifetime warranty. So they are really a good investment to have. For $20 a mat, you can get them. I mean, I probably go through $40 of parchment paper in 2 years. And these Silpats will last much longer than 2 years, believe me. So I think that's just about it. I encourage you all to follow me on my social media outlets. I have facebook.com/TheStaffordWife and twitter.com/TheCleanHome. And that's the_clean_home. You can find me on Facebook at Brian Utz. And you all have a great day and a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week. And next week, we're going to talk all about cooking, harvesting, preserving from the edible garden. Most of your family members might have gardens. Some of your relatives might have gardens, or friends, or, spouses. You might be gardening for the first time with your kid. And now's the season where all that delicious produce is coming, ripening on the vine, and just seems to be coming out the seams of your garden. And we're going to talk all about ideas of what to do with them, from squash to berries to melons to lettuces to tomatoes. And we're going to talk all about cooking fresh, preserving for the months ahead, and also harvesting tips. So stay tuned. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.